is the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director, Andrew Zimmel.
Happy Saturday morning. It's Andrew Zimmel hanging out with you on the Giant Sports Show. And, of course, we have a ton of coaches to talk to you this morning. Going to have coaches from Breckenridge after their homecoming defeat yesterday. And Margaret Wilson, the Breckenridge Cowgirls volleyball coach, you know, one of the favorites of the show. Love to have her come on. But first, we got to start with the man of the hour coming off a big win yesterday against West Fargo Horace. The Huskies beat Horace 42-14. In studio with me right now is head coach of the Huskies, Wade Gilbertson. Coach, good morning. How you feeling?
Nothing better than a Saturday morning after Friday night win.
I'll tell you what, there's no better feeling. And you know, when you went to Devil's Lake and we had to drive like 6.5 days to come back home from that, I tell you, I didn't wake up on Saturday morning feeling very good. West Fargo, just a little bit up the road. So you come in here looking chipper. I like it.
Yeah, a 40-minute drive there and back. It wasn't too bad at all. I actually got to bed at a decent hour. So.
Oh, I know. It's nice. All right, let's talk about the win. We'll start off here. Last week against Fargo North, it's turning out they might be one of the best teams in the state, if not the best team in the state. They took down Bismarck St. Mary yesterday, 38-28. Bismarck St. Mary is no team to sneeze at.
No slouch,
yeah. Yeah, so you had a tough game last week. Got a bunch of guys that kind of banged up. Caden Kappas didn't play. Coming into West Fargo Horace, I know we talked a little bit, you were kind of concerned about the health of guys. Everybody feels good coming into that game?
Yeah, we were incredibly banged up after Fargo North and after Red River, too. I tell you the truth, Red River is the most physical team we've played so far this year. They banged us around pretty darn good. And then we go into play North, and so we've played two of the top three teams in the state right there, and then we got number one coming up next week. Anyway, we needed to get a little bit healthy, and we come into this week, and it's Monday. And we didn't know if we were going to have – we knew that we weren't going to have Josh Beyer, our starting center. He's out with an ACL injury. Kappas had yet to dress for practice, and he jogged a little bit on Monday, so didn't think we were going to have him at full go. Bo Arnstein, our quarterback, was banged up with his shoulder. Couldn't throw the ball from me to you.
Oh, brother.
On Monday.
We're about 5 feet away, folks.
And we're wondering who our quarterback's going to be. We're wondering who we're going to throw it to. The only thing, I think, in our game plan that we knew was rock solid was we were going to be able to get the ball somehow to Trey Mauch. And as it turned out, come Thursday afternoon after our pregame scripted practice, we were actually feeling a lot better because Kappas started dressing and playing full speed Wednesday and honestly did not look like he was even injured.
Really?
Oh, unless we're spoiled, I told my coaching staff we might be because half of a Kappas might be better than anybody else. And so I asked our coaching staff, is this kid even hurt? Because we threw him in there on Wednesday to get reps and it was like he didn't leave. And it was like he was preseason. Bo Arnstein started to kind of come out of a haze a little bit. He went in to see some doctors and got some doctoring done, and they kind of told him what was going on with his shoulder. We were repping up Bjorn Kubala to be our starting quarterback, and he was completely prepared by Thursday to be our starting quarterback. Knew what the game plan was, knew what the scheme was, and like I said, Thursday after scripted practice, we're looking at each other thinking, boy, if you would have told us that we were going to have everybody healthy except for Josh Beyer on Monday, I'd have told you you were nuts.
I would say, too, though, you talk about Josh Beyer, and I want to focus on that because sometimes it goes under the radar. People don't think about how one of the most important positions on the field might be the center. So who did you have play center last night?
McKay Pickin was our starting center. We moved him from right tackle starting center, and he had never started at that position before. So I challenged him to try to get 100 snaps before breakfast, 100 snaps before lunch, and then another 100 snaps before dinner. And at one point during the week, I saw him as his mom came to pick him up from practice. He's carrying a football home with him. So I think that he kind of took it to heart a little bit that I challenged him to get that many snaps in. And our snaps weren't overall bad last night. They were not. So that's a good thing. When you're a shotgun spread team, that snap's got to be there fast. And that snap's got to be accurate as well.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I thought we were really good last night. I thought that he answered the call last night for us. So he doesn't get his name in the paper or said on the radio very often. But I tell you what, he was one of the cogs in the machine last night on offense because of what he was able to do filling in for Josh at center last night.
I'll tell you what, Coach. This is a big boy positive podcast right here. We love having the guys in the trenches.
That's, the pancake platoon, they
yes,
call themselves.
Yes, that's what they call it.
Yeah, they...
Who took the tackle spot, Coach?
That's a great question. Great question. So we had to fill in that right tackle spot with a freshman, Landon Ralph.
How'd he look?
He did well. He was serviceable, is what I would say. He wasn't going to go out there and pancake anybody. He wasn't going to go out there and destroy lives or anything like that. But he took it upon himself, I think, to learn the position. And I think that he's been learning it from day one, and he's been getting better every single day. And the one thing about Landon is I told him on Thursday, hey, be cocky. Go out there and believe that you belong. I didn't know if he actually believed that he belonged when we first started practice this last fall on August 4th. But he slowly started to believe that, hey, I can play at this level. Mm-hmm. I can be somebody that has to be dealt with at this level. I'm not just an afterthought. And I thought that he held his own last night, and I thought he had a blast last night. I don't know there's a lot of guys that had a lot of fun, including guys on our coaching staff there in the fourth quarter, but I thought Landon Ralph had a lot of fun playing that right tackle spot last night.
Well, I'll tell you, when guys start going down and dudes have to start stepping up, guys got to be guys, and that kind of tells you when you're a coach, you can see who's been paying attention during practice, who's been taking those reps on scout team, who's going hard, you know, because if you got somebody that has to fill in a position, all of a sudden, you know, if you have been kind of going half speed and you now have to go full speed, you know, that jumps a little bit harder than if you're going full speed the whole time.
Absolutely, and we try to preach from day one that you are one slip on a shoestring away from playing in a football game, and guys like Landon Ralph, guys like Braden Steffens, some freshmen. I know that the doctor kid last night, Evan Doctor, he was sick, so he couldn't make the trip, but he was going to start on two of our special teams last night as well. So they're one shoestring away from being a major factor in a varsity football game, and I think that becomes very real when you put them in the starting lineup, that's for sure. They start to actually understand when we say that, what we mean.
Head coach of the Wabanon Huskies, Wade Gilbertson, talking to us this morning after a 42-14 win over West Fargo Horace. Now, Coach, what went right last night for you guys? What was the game plan coming in, and what executed to get you this win?
It was a weird game plan because we went, like I told you with the injuries, we went from one game plan Monday, Tuesday to a whole other game plan Thursday. And so we were going to try to work on our passing game because we're going to have to be able to throw the ball. If teams are going to dare us to throw it, we got to throw it. So one thing that we really worked hard on this week that we've done such a good job of in the last couple of years is what we call free access and you-me screens. Free access and you-me screens is when we run the ball inside, we're still going to audible and we're still going to throw the football. The last couple of years, what we've done with our quarterback is just amazing, and our receivers is just amazing because probably an eighth of our passing yards have come off of inside run plays because we're calling out of those plays at the line of scrimmage, and then we're throwing a you-me screen over to the left, or we're throwing a free access fade ball or a five-yard out or a slant or something on the backside of that play. And so we've done a great job of that, and we have not done a great job of that yet this year because we've got a new quarterback, we got a couple new receivers, and we felt some growing pains in that area. But we did a really good job of attacking that this week in practice, and we saw it come to fruition on Friday night. We took last night what they gave us with the passing game. There were some short passes that we made on some inside run plays. There were some long passes that we made on inside run plays, and I think that works out well for us. If we can do that and take what the defense gives us and throw it when we are actually running it, when I actually call a run play, then we're going to be tough to beat.
I'll tell you what, I'm disappointed that I was able to miss a Bo Arnstein deep ball because I haven't got a chance to see him really unleash this year.
Yeah, he was a little bit apprehensive at the start of the game.
Yeah,
we had a couple of boots where we booted him away, and a couple RPOs even where we would get him out into the flat, out of the pocket, and we had receivers running. I can't even say they're wide open. They are so wide open, they weren't even covered by anybody. And he would not throw the football to them. And we asked him, hey, did you see this? Did you see that? And he goes, yeah, I saw that. I'm like, okay, well, we were wide open for a 60-yard touchdown, throw the ball. Or we're wide open for a 20-yard touchdown, throw the ball. And then he started to throw the ball, and he started to have a little bit of success with it. And he was starting to rip the football a little bit, if that makes sense. And he wasn't as apprehensive as he was at the start of the game.
Which is good.
Very, very good to see because now he believes, I think, that he can make those throws. And if he believes he can make those throws, I want him to try to make those throws because that's ultimately what we're going to how we're going to make our hay as a football team is we're going to have to throw the ball against teams that are going to dare us to throw the ball.
And I was going to say Jamestown is going to be that type of team that's going to want to dare you to throw the ball. They're the number one team right mm-hmm. now. I think that it's kind of feels where they're at. I know it's a week early. I know you just came off a win. What do you know about Jamestown?
Well, they're going to be very physical.
Yeah. Yep.
They're going to be a well-coached football team, and they're going to come in here with a ton of confidence, and they're going to enjoy playing in Wahpeton. It's been a long, long time since Jamestown has come to Wahpeton to play a football game. It's going to be our homecoming game, so we are going to have a couple of extra distractions that we're going to have to work through. But ultimately, to me, I know that homecoming is about this, and it's about that. It's about reunions. We've got our 2012 class is coming back for a 10-year. I know one of them was at the football game last night, Preston Cath. And so there's a number of distractions that are going to be occurring. But to me, it's about the football game on Friday night, and we're going to try to keep those guys laser focused on that football game Friday night, 7 o'clock. Be excited to play. I'm ready to go against Jamestown. I want to play the best, and I want to be able to measure ourselves against the best. Let's see what we got going into week five here.
2-2 on the season. Did you think you'd be in this type of position going into Jamestown, or did you feel you might be 1-3? What does this 2-2 record mean right now?
Well, we're in the playoff hunt,
yep.
and everything that we have wanted as a football team at the beginning of the year, all of our goals are still in front of us.
Yep.
Everything is. If we dropped the game last night, we've got a little bit of extra work to do. We're at 2-2, and we've got we're going through murderer's row right now. We played Red River, we played North, we play Jamestown next week. We've got Fargo South on the schedule, we've got Valley City coming up on the schedule. I mean, that's what, five of the top six teams in the state coming. So it's murderer's row. We don't have any time to relax. We got to get ready to go, but I'm excited about it. That's who I want to play. I don't want to have some soft schedule and then get into the back end of the playoffs as a number five seed or whatever and really not be as good as we actually are, if that makes sense. I want to be that team that comes in as a 6 seed or a 7 seed, maybe hopefully a 5 seed, and then we've played some tough competition and we've carved ourselves out of wood, so to speak, during that season, and we're ready to go.
And we've talked about it before that Wahpeton plays pretty much a playoff game every single week in the EDC.
We stress it that it's a playoff game every single week. We absolutely do.
Before I let you go here, I want to talk about Bjorn Kubula a little bit more because he was a backup quarterback last year. I like Bjorn. I like his name. What do you like out of him?
Well, I think that he's growing up.
Yep.
Right in front of our eyes as a football player. You know, as a freshman last year, we knew he wasn't getting any varsity time. As a sophomore, we were hoping that he would be serviceable as a backup quarterback. And he came into the game last night, and he actually helped lead one of the most impressive drives we've had all year. It was a 15-16 play touchdown drive, and we held the ball for the lion's share of the third quarter, and he led that drive, and he made a couple of plays on that drive, a couple of throws on that drive that were pretty impressive. He's making a couple of throws on slants where he's putting the ball down where only our receiver can get it, and our receiver, Jacob Burnt, goes down and takes his number 88 right to the ball, takes his chest right to the ball and catches it, and he's not able to run after the catch, but it's a perfect throw, perfect catch for a first down. He's growing exponentially, I think, and by next year, I think that he's going to have the confidence in himself to be that varsity guy and be able to sling it around the field a little bit. He's got some intangibles. He doesn't have the height. He doesn't have the size right now, but he's going to. I think that he's going to really take off and grow a little bit. If you look at his hands are probably the size of Mike sitting over there. He's got enormous feet as well.
So got a puppy dog body.
Yes, exactly. So with hands like that, with his hands, he can wrap those things around the football, and that's why he throws a really nice ball, is because he's got those big hands. And I think that he's going to start growing more physically. And I think he's going to be ready to go mentally then next year to be our varsity guy. And if he had to step in next week, we'd have all the confidence in him in the world. We'd change our game plan. We'd change our playbook a little bit here and there to fit his style. But I would have all the confidence in the world for him to lead our offense right now. I really would.
Very cool. Head coach of the Wabedon Huskies, Wade Gilbertson, talking to us after a big 42-14 win yesterday over West Fargo Horse. Coach, looking forward to talking to you next week. Thanks for coming in.
You bet, buddy. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Giant Sports Show on KBMW.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Welcome back. Andrew Zimmel hanging out with you on a Saturday morning. In studio with me right now is Jordan Christensen, the head basketball coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys. But we're talking football today after a homecoming loss last night. And Jordan, I gotta say, I was on the call for that game. I enjoy calling Breckenridge games. I was wearing my green and white socks for you guys. I was rooting for you. Homecoming night, man. A lot of stuff didn't go the way the Cowboys wanted, but some things did, and that's what we're going to focus on this Saturday morning. We're going to focus on the good, the positives. So let's start there. Coming in Saturday morning, I know it's tough after last night, but what's a positive you got for me this morning?
Well, there's not a whole lot to take from that that's positive, but we did learn some things about our team, and I think found some things that we can fix going into next week. But Jacob Kunkel caught the ball four times for 49 yards. Gavin Peterson had a catch for 12 yards on a flood route. And then rushing-wise, we had Alex Sanchez, 5 carries for 37 yards. He's been running the ball pretty well. And then Gavin Peterson, 7 carries for 37 yards. Paul Armitage, 6 carries for 21 yards. And then Cam Neto, who ended up getting hurt in the second half, had 9 carries for 46 yards. And Bailey Evans, I think, had 61 yards passing. I mean, we didn't do enough defensively to put our offense in good spots. I mean, bottom line is I didn't put the kids in a great position defensively to have them give them a chance, really. Like, we gave up way too many yards. I don't even want to say the number on air. But
that's fine. You don't have to. We'll keep it between ourselves, the three of us in the room, me, you, and Big Mike, the producer. We don't need to have to say that number out loud for you. Just know that it wasn't great at home, folks, the amount of total yards. All right, let's talk defensively. Coming into this week, the Frazee Hornets, they were a team that played Parker's Prairie, a common opponent earlier this season. Cowboys had a bigger win over Parker's Prairie than the Hornets. What went into the defensive game plan against the Hornets that didn't work out, that you thought was going to work?
Well, we thought we could play some games on to their wing side with a couple of our guys, and it didn't work. Like, honestly, I was probably over-analyzing things and trying to put something in that our kids weren't in a spot they could be successful at that point. And then we tried, like, three different things, and we couldn't get anything to work. We got to get better coverage-wise. That'll help a lot of our stuff, but I think we gave up 330 yards on the ground, and that's too many.
Too many yards. 34-12 was the final score of the homecoming game last night. I do want to highlight a player, and I have a T-shirt for him. Essential Health Player of the Game, Landon Bloffus, who was played outside linebacker in some sets. I think he played middle linebacker in a couple sets. He felt like he was everywhere on the field in the first half. I was really impressed by his ability to end up either gang tackling or being one of the first guys on the ball. What do you like out of your senior?
Landon's just a good football player, and wherever we put him, he's going to make plays. He might move around a little bit defensively just so we get him in better spots to basically make a play on the football and shut down half the field. Last year he played defensive end. We might try a little bit of that going into the next few weeks because he's really good at linebacker, but he's going to be really good wherever we put him.
Now, explain to me the defense, because you got three different defensive linemen, two defensive ends, and three linebackers. And I almost wanted to call it a 5-3 because
it was basically a 5-3.
A 5-3, okay. Because yep. I was looking at it and I was like, all right, you got the defensive ends crashing, But it felt like that the Hornets did a lot of their running in between the tackles.
They did, and we didn't do a great job of playing through guys, and their guards got to the linebackers a little bit too easily, but we missed a lot of tackles. We really did. Like, we'd have a lot of opportunities. Their first touchdown, I watched the film, we had them at the line of scrimmage or behind it and just kind of missed a tackle. It's got to tackle better and got to play better.
All right. Well, that's a lot right there. Let's talk about Cam Neto, because you mentioned that he got banged up in the second half. How is the young man feeling?
I will know more on Sunday. Hurt his head a little bit. He's got to take the impact test then. But hopefully he'll be all right. He's a tough kid.
He's a guy that's all over the field, man. I'm really impressed by a lot of the guys who were able to kind of flip and play the offenses and then the defensive side. And I want to talk about Bailey Evans, because, you know, to be the quarterback, and he had two interceptions last night, to be the quarterback and then have to immediately flip over to the defensive side and go, okay, you know what? I got to throw that last deal out of my head. Now I got to go lay the wood on somebody and put the pain on the guys. That's got to be something that, as a defensive coach, you're like, okay, I like this guy, his headspace. He can kind of just like wash off the last play on offense and just come right into defense.
I like that. Bailey's a tough kid. He's one of our better tacklers, and we need him on the field defensively. He's a smart football player. And I think for him, it helps him a little bit too. If the offensive series doesn't go so well, he can go play defense and get his mind off of it a little bit. But he's a kid we like to have on the field defensively.
That's good. So last night was homecoming. I think the question I was asking everybody in the press box and just trying to get the deal, because I think homecoming the whole week from Sunday to Sunday, I think it's a really big deal for a town, Breckenridge, Wappen. It does not matter. I really do think that homecoming is a really important thing. So what is a homecoming memory that you might have, if you're willing to share, or like a football memory, or literally anything? I this is a wide-open question for you. Homecoming, the topic of homecoming, are there any positive like feelings towards it?
Well, I mean, last night wasn't super That's positive. Fine. But yesterday they did have the parade. Like, in all the different activities in the school had a float in it. Like, I teach sixth grade, so all my sixth graders were down there, and all the football guys and volleyball girls were throwing them candy, and it was just kind of, that was kind of a fun event. But I don't know, that's, if you don't get the football game, it kind of taints homecoming a little bit.
Okay, now I didn't want to say that, but we're on the same page here a little bit. I'm glad we all agree on that. Let's talk about, because you're the defensive coach, let's talk about the defensive game plan for next week. I know that we got a little bit of time. You're probably going to go over the film from last night, or maybe you burn the tape. Who knows?
Didn't do that.
Okay. What's the game plan coming out of this game? What'd you learn?
Well, we learned, honestly, we're going to try putting guys in different spots and control the offensive tackles a little bit more with our best defensive players. And then over the top, we're going to play a totally different coverage, because we've been getting burned over the top a few times. And that's – last night, that's on me. The coverage, we put them in a spot they're not going to be successful. It was the first time we'd ever tried something like that. And we thought we'd have a chance.
Break it down for me. What was it?
We played cover two on the one side and then kind of a man lock on the other side, and it was – second play of the game, I mean, you saw it. It wasn't great.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, look, it doesn't make for great radio when both people are just kind of sitting there looking at each other. I'll say that. I'll be the first person to own up to that. But I'm trying to find ways to kind of positively spin this for us. As a guy, like I said, I wore my green and white socks last night. I was excited. I covered for my guy Turner. I know Turner's he's an alumni from Breckenridge. He was rooting for the team. He's listening on the radio. And I'm very much rah-rah. Now, I will say I was duped. I was made a fool by people who thought that they knew Frazee. And I don't know if you guys might, as the coaching staff, you're above all this, but as just a mere peasant, a radio guy, I was talking to fans, I was talking to other media guys, and everybody was telling me Frazee was any good. And I said, now hold on a second. I don't know if that's as far as I would like to go, but it seemed like everybody got duped last night.
Well, we weren't quite ready to play. Us as coaches didn't have them in a spot they needed to be, but they were a good football team.
Yeah.
We, like, watching film, you could tell they're a bunch of wrestlers. And wrestlers play the game fast and physical, and you could see it.
That's good. See, I like that. That's a good antidote right there, because I I'm a big guy that thinks that wrestlers to turn to football players make really good offensive linemen. Bill Belichick told me that one time, and since then I've been just running with it. I think Frazee's got a couple of wrestlers on the offensive line, man.
Oh, they did. And then we have Underwood next week. They'll have a couple wrestlers on the offensive line there. 0-3 right now. We need to bounce back. But I think going into next week, there's a lot of things we can fix. And, I mean, all you have to do is – get healthy going into the playoffs. Everybody makes it in Minnesota. Four seed, five seed, three seed. We don't care what we're going to be. We'll go play anybody anywhere.
And I think that's the right mindset to have. Now, what does the senior class mean to you, Coach, as a defensive guy? Is like kind of putting people in positions? Do you have leaders on the team?
We have lots of leaders on the team. Gavin Peterson, Dallin Ernst, Landon Bloffus, those three just lead by example. They don't have any quit in them. They don't say a whole lot, but those kids, if everybody just plays how they play, we'll be in a good spot going forward. I'm not really worried about this one.
That's fine.
Not a great game for us, but you know what? We'll be fine and get it figured out by week 8, 9, and 10, hopefully.
Okay. I like that. And I think that's the right mindset to have. I've always come in with like kind of the baseball player mindset, right, where one at-bat does not dictate the next at-bat. One offensive or defensive series does not dictate the next one. Things can happen. Look, I'm rooting for you guys. I think last night was tough. I think but this team, you ended up missing an extra point in the first game of the season. Last week looked really good. This week, kind of tough. Underwood's next week. I think this team could be 2-2 after next week, Coach.
I agree. We've got all the pieces to be a good football team. We just got to put them together and figure it out and keep grinding at practice. And I mean, if we get healthy by, I want to say a week, in 2 weeks, if we're healthy in 2 weeks, we'll be in a good spot.
All right. I like that. That's the right mindset to have. Coach Jordan Christensen talking to me about the Breckenridge Cowboys 34-12 loss last week. Coach, before I let you go, head basketball coach, you got anything for me on that end? I know it's really early in the preseason. Just throw me anything. What does it look like?
Well, I mean, Dylan Bernardes, love the kid. We lost him on the first play of the football season this year. So that throws a wrench in some things, but we got a lot of athletes coming back, so we'll be all right. I think we scrimmaged Wahpeton first time in I don't remember how long. Coach Ralph said we had done it before, but I've never remembered it. But we'll scrimmage them this year, which will be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never done that, or in my time, I've never done that. So
that'll be great. All right. Well, I hope that you have a very chipper Saturday the rest of the way, Coach. I hope things are turning up.
It'll be a good day.
Things are going around.
The day is what you make it.
Oh, that's a great way to have it. We'll send you home with a muffin. You're listening to the Giant Sports Show on KBMW.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Welcome back to the Giant Sports Show. Andrew Zimmel hanging out with you on a Saturday morning. And we have a friend of the show. Bigger than that, though, she is the Breckenridge Cowgirl head volleyball coach. It's Margaret Wilson in with us. Coach, I miss you. It's been too long.
It has.
It has literally been, and I thought about this, Mike, it has been since they went to state last year that we've had Margaret in studio with us. And since then, a lot has happened. So give me the breakdown. Let's fill in that last 8 months.
Well, I said goodbye to 8 seniors. And brought in 7 seniors this year. So we just picked up where we left off. So we got Abby Johnson back. She's a senior this year, her 5th year starting varsity for us. So a lot of experience there. And then Addie Twidwell, she was one of our starters last year on the right side, moved her to the middle this year. So she's a senior. And then she's accompanied by Matea Vig, a senior, Ivy Osha, Kelsey Searle, Emma Etzler. I'm missing one. There's someone. Kennedy Schuler. I have 7 seniors back this year. Yeah.
So, you know, last year we talked, hey, this is the first time this team is going to state in almost 50 years.
Yeah.
And then people were asking me, they go, wow, is it the coaching? And I said, well, you know, it is the coaching, but it helps when you have that many seniors. And, you know, you have a lot of upperclassmen this year, too.
Yeah. Well, just bringing back... well, not to bring up COVID, but, I mean, our season got canceled. 2020 could have been a state season too. Yeah. In my opinion, I had 3 seniors that year, accompanied by all those juniors. Uh-huh. So we had something to prove, right? And with last year when BBE joined our section, that really, you know, was like, why are they here, you know? So, yeah, last year we went to town, and this year we, you know, we're gunning for the same thing.
So let's talk about it. Last year you had one of the most impressive win streaks in Breckenridge Cowgirl history. Yep. This year you're not coming off that same start, but you're looking just as dominant.
Yeah, we had a rough start with Henning. You know, second game this season, you got some bumps and bruises to figure out. So kind of finding our rhythm a little bit now. And, you know, I think going forward here, we'll be a little bit more consistent with where players are at and that kind of thing. Still tweaking here and there when we need to. But, yeah, you can definitely tell that we've played 10 games now rather than just two when we when we hosted Henning that second game of the season. So, yeah. And fun fact, we've only played three sets every match this year so far.
That's insane.
Yeah. So, yeah, we lost to Henning in three, but I've beat everybody else in three when we split at a tournament. But, yeah. We don't need to talk about that one.
That's fine. No, no, no. Hey, tournament play doesn't count on the record, so we just keep it moving.
Different.
We just keep it moving.
Yeah, and credit to Hillcrest because they're a very good team. Kind of like us last year where their senior class has been playing together for 3 years now. They got a good team there, and they're in our section as well. So they have some... They have something to prove, too. So it'll be interesting how it all plays out.
Now, earlier this week was the border battle between Wahpeton. And I want to get into this relationship a little bit more because we talked before the game that you and Dom Rickles played with each other at one point or another. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, we grew up together. Yeah. We went to school together all through elementary and most of high school. Dom moved when we were going to be seniors, but we played sports together the whole time.
That's gotta kind of be cool now.
It is pretty cool.
To like now be on the opposite sides of the court, like coaching against each other. Like, did you ever think that was gonna happen when you were playing together?
No. And it's happened before. When I coached in North Dakota, there was three of us, one I went to high school with and one I went to college with, you know, all good friends, and we were all at the same section tournament coaching against each other. So, I mean, it's just cool how we've played together and now we're giving back to the sport, you know, coaching. So it's just fun that way.
Border battle went your way on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You look pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good game. Wahpeton has some good blocks. They're scrappy. You know, they have a tough class. I mean, Class A North Dakota volleyball can't compare with single A section 6A volleyball in Minnesota. So it's a whole different level. They have a tough road ahead of them playing those Fargo teams. And I mean, it's just how the cards lay out. So, but Dom's doing a good job. She's, you know, trying to build something, and it's hard to do the first year, but give her a couple of years and I think it might turn it around.
What do you remember from your first year coaching?
That I leaned on my assistant coaches for all their knowledge, and I still do. I feel like we work as a really good team, and I had no idea what I was doing, you know. No, I mean, but we still, like, the four of us coaches make a lot of decisions together. I don't ever just put a lineup in without talking to them about where we think we're at. So it's really a team role.
I want to talk about Addison Twidwell, who did a really good job as a middle hitter. And I've been seeing her a couple of games. I was able to catch a couple sets here and there with the Cowgirls. Has that move from outside to middle helped?
Well, yeah, we had her on the right side.
Yeah.
Kind of last year, I just needed a blocker, and she's a good blocker. She wasn't our strongest hitter last year, so right side was a good position for her. Now, back into the middle position, I mean, she's blocking everywhere, and that's her number one job, is to be that dominant force in the front row. She's actually getting a lot of sets and doing well with her kills. Some are so off speed that it just works, and then she can get on top of the ball too and put it away. So she's doing a really nice job transitioning back into the middle.
I was going to say, because last year from the state tournament to this year, you kind of look at, like, okay, who has progressed, who has kind of stayed the same, and I thought she's one of those players that has taken a big step up from last time we saw her.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, and maybe it's just that she's a senior now, right? Mm-hmm. You need to lead this team. This isn't your first year just experiencing this. So, yeah, we need her to be a force in the front row, whether she's blocking or attacking the ball.
Right. Yep. Now let's talk about Abby Johnson, yeah. who she was a leader on last year's team, yep. but she didn't really have to be. This year, I think she has to be like the vocal leader, the somebody yeah. that steps up.
Yeah, different mindset for Abby. I think she puts a lot of pressure on herself because of her experience. But I think, you know, she has to learn to trust that her teammates are going to be there and do their job. And we're figuring that out, and she's doing a nice job of that. But yeah, she's one of our go-to hitters, and teams know that. They've seen her play with us on that outside position for 5 years now. So, which is okay, right? She's going to have a big block in front of them, but that opens the door for some of our other hitters. And like Matea Vega and Ivy Oshak and Emma Esler on the right side are doing a nice job attacking the ball when people are sitting in front of Abby.
Mm-hmm. Now, Schuler, she was somebody that didn't get a lot of playing time last year,
right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And this year she's taking a bigger role.
Yeah, so Kennedy Schuler is one of our back row players. You know, was behind Riley Finkerl the last couple seasons, it's hard to see the court. So Kennedy's doing a nice job in that role, coming in and, I mean, serve receiving well, playing good defense. So, yeah, she's definitely a good back row player. So, yeah, she just didn't see much behind Riley Finkerl.
I mean, that's a tough deal. What was nice about the border battle game is I saw a lot of your state players that came back to watch the game, which I thought was super cool.
Yeah, I've seen them at a couple of games, and I think they're coming back Tuesday night for our alumni scrimmage. Who wants to give it up, right? They're still living in it. So it was an experience and memories and just the great experience. So, you know, now we're like, okay, we gotta push ourselves to get there again.
Was that kind of like on the chalkboard when you came in for the first day of practice? Like, hey, okay, this is where the bar is set now for this program.
Yeah.
This is the expectations.
Yeah. Maybe not said out loud, but
okay.
In everybody's head. Yeah. I think so.
I think that's good. I think that's kind of what it kind of has to be.
Right.
You don't give me the vibes of somebody that is going to take the foot off the gas. Like, you've built a program. This is what the expectation level is.
Right. Right. And girls are, I mean, they're pushing themselves. And we have to. Everybody's gunning for us. I mean, Henning taking us down in that second match of the season. I mean, we beat them out to go further, you know, and she has a good team. They're very scrappy players, and we played them in the scrimmages and tournaments last summer. I mean, we're going to be battling here in the playoffs, and I want to see them in the playoffs because we got some payback now, you know, so people are gunning for us. I mean, everyone's got an eye on what the Cowgirls are doing this season and how we're doing. So we got to, especially now coming up, like starting with Thursday with our Pelican game. That was our first conference match. And not that our conference isn't our playoff teams. They're not. Nobody in our conference is in our section. But
it's so weird.
I know,
it's so weird.
Yeah, just to confuse everybody. But we have to make a statement in our conference too. Every team, so there's 7 teams in our conference. Everybody but Perham graduated a good number of seniors last year. And so Perham, you know, I think they think it's their year. But, you know, we play them Thursday, and we need to take care of business there.
You play them there or here?
We go there.
All right. Well, yep. Going into a hostile environment, Coach.
I know. That's all right.
All right.
We can handle it.
I'm just saying. Just putting it out there for you. That's good.
Yep.
Coach Margaret Wilson talking to us about the Breckenridge Cowgirls. I had a lot of other questions for you. I know you're trying to get out of here pretty soon, but I want to get one. Who has impressed you the most? Not like surprised you, but impressed you from the beginning of the season to now, just made some growth?
I'd say Matea Vig has really stepped up. She's always played outside in previous seasons, and I moved her to the right side. She's a tall player. She's a good hitter. And I just think she's doing a nice job in the front row. I mean, we need her to block. We need her to swing. We need her to play off-block defense, that kind of stuff. So she's doing a really nice job there on that right side position for us this year. You know, kind of replacing Addie Twidwell from last year.
Which is a big role to fill.
Yeah.
Big shoes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Coach Margaret Wilson, thank you for coming in.
Yeah,
I'll let you go
you.
Back to being super mommy, figuring everything out.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, KBMW.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
Welcome back to the Giants Sports Show. Andrew Zimmel hanging out with you on a Saturday morning. I want to thank everybody for coming in, all of our incredible coaches, Wade Gilbertson, Jordan Christensen, of course, our favorite volleyball coach, Margaret Wilson. We got to get Dom Rickles in here, talk about the Wahpeton team. We'll get her in here very soon, Husky fans. Don't you worry. But I want to tell a quick story. My parents came into town from Texas. They did the 2,000-mile trek to come visit their firstborn, and I don't blame them. I'm a pretty good hang, so they came up. They checked out the apartment, checked out the town, and I'll tell you, the Zimmel family absolutely adores this area. They thought it was great. They went. I took them to the Brew. I took them to the Boiler Room. Took them to the Wilkin. Everybody was impressed with just the food, the hospitality, the Midwestern hospitality. It's not overrated. People loved it. But my parents had never been to a volleyball game. They said, what are you doing on Tuesday? I said, well, I'm calling this border battle game. Everybody tells me it's a pretty big deal. You should come to it. So they came. First volleyball game my parents have been to in their life. Loved it. Loved every minute of it. Thought both teams played very hard. I asked my mom, what do you think? And she said, well, I hope they both had fun. So I think that they did. I think everything went very well. And I'm very thankful to everybody in the Twin Talents for giving my parents a good time. So thank you for that. Next week, a lot of great coaches going to be coming in. We'll figure out what we want to do. The Minnesota Vikings, they play Monday night. Don't play Sunday, so we get a whole weekend where we don't have to pull our hair out. Monday night football, it's a doubleheader. They're going to play the late game against the Philadelphia Eagles. You know there's no bad blood lost there. The Eagles, a team that knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs on that run that they won in Minneapolis. So nothing like losing the playoffs to a team, having them come to your home stadium, and then winning the Super Bowl. So hopefully the Vikings can fight back on Monday night. Had an excellent win last week against the Green Bay Packers. That's going to do it for us. Want to thank everybody for coming in one more time. And, of course, our incredible producer, Big Mike, for making us look good. From everybody on the i3G Media Network and myself, Andrew Zimmel, have a great rest of your afternoon. Or I should say your morning and weekend.